Our text is in the Epistle to the Hebrews, and verses 39 and 40. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now, those two verses that you can see are the wonderful link between the saints of the Old Testament and the saints of the New. Now, we come into the close of this particular chapter where there has been an account of the men and women of faith. They are more numerous, of course, than are enumerated here, but this is a selection a scripture has chosen, and they vary a great deal in their lives and in their backgrounds and in their attitudes and their personalities and in their status. But they have one thing in common. They have faith. And that's a wonderful thing, that they have faith in God. They lived and died by faith. If I may read you some of the verses. Now then, I have been going, as you know, by one verse there, by looking at implication, quench the violence of fire, the three young men, and regarding lions, Daniel, who are not actually named. You could, for each one of those phrases, find either a group of people, or a situation in the nation, or an individual. But I think I just took the more obvious ones, and that would be enough. And yes, there were many more. Verse 36, and others, a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder. I must say that when I was tempted, because that is how we are told by tradition, and not just, you know, a loose tradition. That is how Isaiah died, how with a wooden saw that he was slowly killed. Yet he uttered prayers to God and kept silence through the whole ordeal. They were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all these people, many more, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Now then, we've looked at them, and we say, well, what kept them going? And we just look at that for a moment and see what difference was there between them and ourselves, and how are we linked together. And that is one of the purposes of this epistle. One of them. There are many wonderful purposes, but that's one of them. So the first point I'd like to bring to you is the path of faith. I want to look first of all at these people as a group, the men and the women of faith, as a group. They obtained a good report through faith. So if you ask God, why are they in that gallery? They are in the gallery because it is called the gallery of faith. Their faith was not in themselves. Their faith was in the promises of God. Now that's important to remember. They did not see the fulfillment of that promise in their day, but their faith was in the promises of God. They did not yet receive the promise. That's a little surprising, but it's there in Scripture. They did not yet receive the promise. Yet their hope was upon the divine promises, and their hope and their confidence was in the glorious fulfillment of these promises, that these things would come to pass. Now, it was in Christ that all these realities will be brought and these promises will be fulfilled. So you have to put them there, that they live by faith. Faith in the promises of God. Faith that these great promises about Jesus Christ would be fulfilled. Their faith was there. If I may read you a verse in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20, it says, for all the promises of God in him, that is, for all the promises of God, whatever they are, Old and New Testament, for all the promises of God in him, in Christ, are yea, and in him, amen, unto us the glory of God by us. So it's a lovely picture there. All the promises, wherever they are found in Scripture, all the promises of God, all the promises of God in him are yea and amen. So now they are looking to the promises of God, and yet they have to wait for the yea and amen in Jesus Christ. That is the position. Aren't you astounded how they lived and how they achieved? Living on such a flicker as that, in a way, that their faith was looking toward these things. And yet they were sawn asunder. They quenched the fiery darts of fire and one thing and another. They went through dreadful things within lions' dens, all these things for their faith. And yet it was looking toward a promise. It's a remarkable thing. They looked towards the promises of God. So sure were they of the reliability and the credibility of their God. Now, how can we describe their faith? Now, we see that their faith, they exercise their faith as if it was a penetrating eye. The penetrating eye of faith that greeted the fulfillment from afar. Shall I give you that picture again? The penetrating eye of faith. Remember, their faith was a gift from God. The penetrating eye of faith that greeted the fulfillment of the promises that would be the yea and amen, the promises of God in Christ. They greeted them from afar, believing implicitly in them. But they looked forward towards them. And they did not yet see their fulfillment, but believed that they would be fulfilled. They lived in faith and they died in faith. Now, that faith of theirs saw a great deal. Let me give you one instance. That they might obtain a better resurrection. That's how far they went. And what do they mean by a better resurrection? Well, a better resurrection than the ones with Elijah and Elisha and the various others that were raised in the times of the Old Testament, particularly, that they were people that were raised from the dead to live a little while longer, only in order to die again. Oh no, said these faiths. These men in the Old Testament say, oh no, remember? They said, oh no, we believe by the faith we have in a better resurrection than merely the raising of a man or a woman to go on living the life they had and then die again. This resurrection is the one that we find in Christ when we have our new bodies in a new dimension with new qualities that cannot taste death in any way. And yet without that information, yet they still are able to say that they looked for a better resurrection. Now that's a little about them. And yet, let's look a little more at that. Let's look at the promise that they looked at, the promise of faith. Now the word better is here all the while. Now, shall I read you this? That they apart from us, that they should not be made perfect. Now, here is the perfection, put it like that. What Christ, by the grace of Christ, what Christ has wrought in a human being, all that is given by the grace of God in salvation and the promise of full redemption and so on, there it is, the perfection of the work of Christ in an individual. Now then, what's he saying? When we come to Christ, we come into the fulfillment of the promise. So now it happens here. Here are they. They exercised faith in God and he gave them that faith. Now here is that link word. That they should not be left stranded. That they, without us, should not be made perfect. It is together that we enjoy the perfection that is in Christ. So although they are men of faith, though they see afar, though they have a penetrating eye of faith, although they suffer many trials and tribulations, and certainly the excellence of the grace of God is in their lives, Yet we have to wait for the yea and amen of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. What we're saying is this. The plan for them. It is not that God has one plan for them and another plan for us. It is certainly not that. That's the teaching of Hebrews here. Here is a plan for the Old Testament. This is how they had their faith. And this is a plan for the New Testament. No, it's saying that they and us shall not be separated. We shall be one in Christ Jesus. And the benefits of the yea and amen, of the promises of God that are found in him, shall be for both Old and New Testament saints. We shall be as one. Now that is what he's saying. So we will be in the same gallery. The same gallery. The gallery of faith. Now let us glimpse for a moment. Consider what faith saw before the Lord Jesus Christ came. And well, in doing this, I was absolutely amazed. The anticipation and faith that look forward to the introduction of the better plan in Jesus Christ. So I'll just go through three or four of them. One, in Hebrews 7 verse 7, in the background of Melchizedek, and without all contradiction, the less is blessed or the better. If you look at that chapter, you'll find it's about Melchizedek. And remember that he was a type of Christ. Over and above the ordinary run-of-the-mill high priest, who had really very little interest in the people, yet there was a form of religion that God gave to the people. And yet coming across this in the Old Testament, remember that visit that Abraham had from Melchizedek? And it seems such a mysterious figure, and everything about him points to a type or a representation of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, they looked for a better way, a better high priest. Well, who is this better high priest? Our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who is forever able to intercede for us. Because we know the arguments in the Old in the New Testament regarding the Old, and in Hebrews particularly, that they had a high priest who could say prayers for a while, do things for a while, but by the very limitation of what he was not able to achieve what Jesus Christ could. So we have a better high priest, a far more qualified high priest, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, one who is without sin, without blame, and holy, and is harmless. They looked for that by faith. In 9:23, chapter 9:23, they looked for a superior or a better sacrifice. For remember the sacrifices of the Old Testament, where the high priest would bring a lamb and he would put his hands on the nape or the neck of the lamb, transferring the guilt and the shame and so on of the people onto the lamb, kill the lamb, the blood would be sprinkled in the holiest of all and the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat in symbol form. In symbol form. No symbol now. No altar now. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Although we would honor and respect the sacrifices of the lambs in a temporary measure in the Old Testament, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. A better sacrifice, a better high priest, Jesus Christ, a better sacrifice, a sinless high priest, and a perfect sacrifice. By faith, in some mysterious way, they looked for these better things. There were some, you see, who raised above the temporary and the seen. A better arrangement, a better covenant in 7:22. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. Well, why is this? Well, here we have a more reliable agreement altogether. If we should say, who has died for me? Or some little lamb. Well, who brought this little lamb? Some high priest. What was he like? He had many faults. He wasn't particularly interested in the people, but he performed his little duties, which were a shadow of things to come. Is that all you saw in the Old Testament? No, we could see there was more to it than that. We could see that this high priest was merely a temporary thing. What did you see? We saw the promise. The promise of a perfect high priest. The Messiah, the Son of God. What kind of sacrifice did you see? We saw a remarkable sacrifice there. That Jesus Christ himself would also become the Son, the Lamb of God. And our sin would be laid upon him. And the promise based upon that would have solidarity. That's the difference. Yet they believed that. They believed that, these saints. Wherefore, in the same chapter, verse 25, in chapter 7, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and higher than the heavens. A better high priest, a better sacrifice, a better covenant, and a better country. You might say, well, they only look for a promised land. Yes, they look for a promised land. They wanted somewhere to settle. But you know, they saw further than that. In chapter 11, verse 16, you remember this verse. But now they desire a better country. Isn't it interesting the number of times better comes in? But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. That's where their faith was. Their faith was in the promise that one day, that what they saw by the penetrating eye of faith, to the shadows of the Old Testament, that the shadow would be the forerunner of the real thing. Of course. If you've only got a shadow to cling to, very well, you might say, well, that is a shadow. But if you only regard it as a shadow, you fail to see the point. Even in the Old Testament, they say, this is a shadow of something. It is a shadow of the reality. It is a shadow of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And there we have the reality. It was graciously ordained that they should experience the substantiation of their hope, not in separation, but in union with us, so that their promise would be fulfilled in the union with us. So then, in the operation of the coming of Jesus Christ, and in the performance of the work of atonement by Jesus Christ, they and us are united in that fulfillment. Now then, you know it's a wonderful thought. Doesn't it make the Old Testament clear? How many times are we puzzled about the Old Testament, forgetting to look at it from what Hebrews, of all books in the New Testament, that regards with great respect the Old Testament and shows the shadows, shows their beauty, shows their meaning, and then shows that they are but a shadow of the reality of Jesus Christ, the great high priest, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, he who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, of a better arrangement, of a better country, and that a heavenly. They looked for that. So when Jesus Christ comes, the reality of that is before our eyes. Now, last point. The provision of faith. We come to us now. The era of fulfillment. We've arrived now in our era and our area and our time. Yet still, it is an era of faith. Still, I must make this very clear. In Christ, every purpose of blessing in the mediatorial work of his Son and our high priest is fulfilled. Everything is in Christ. He is the Son of God. He has absolute deity, perfect humanity. He comes in the fullness of time. He achieves various things. He fulfills a law that we could not for us. He pays a penalty for a law which we broke, which we could not pay without being in health or eternity. So he pays it on Calvary. and the intensity of the suffering is equal to eternal damnation. He does all that. By faith and repentance, by the grace of God, we come into that which He has fulfilled. And by coming to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven, and His purity is counted for us. And because of that, the barrier between us and God has been removed. We are able to come to a throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We can pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and come directly to God. We know that we are marching to Zion, the beautiful city of God. We shall be the general assembly of the great assembly of God. We shall be there. Why are we saying this? Because we know this is confirmed now by the great covenant, the new covenant that is written in blood and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son. So we say, can there be anything greater? Here is the fulfillment of all the shadows. Here is the fulfillment of the promises of God. Here is my Son in the right time, in the fullness of time, in the correct time. And He looks to the old, and He gathers men and women of faith, and He looks to the new, and He promises as He comes to them the fulfillment in Jesus Christ. All is in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They come to Him with great joy, and we do not add to it either. He is complete. Can you see how that word comes in now? In another epistle, we are complete in Him. The old look forward and say, we are complete at last in Him. We look back to what He has done and look up to where He is, and we say, we are complete in Him. And then we look to the saints of the old and the saints of the new, and we say, we are complete together in Him. That's how wonderful our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is. But there is an interval in your life and my life between the fulfillment which we have when we believe and the final consummation. That's quite sensible, isn't it? When we came to Jesus, we had the fulfillment of the promises, and it includes the saints of the old. But we still have to live by faith. For whilst we are on this earth, we still wait. We've got the promises. We have them fulfilled in Jesus Christ. But the realization of them, the consummation of them, we look forward to. Let me give you an example. Peter says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, when you enter into glory. That promise which is fulfilled in Jesus Christ is now realized. You've got the check in your hand. In the Old Testament, if you like, they know the check is coming because of the reliability of God. But when we come to Jesus Christ, we've got the check, and it's signed by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And now what we're doing, we're having that check honored in glory. That's all it is. We have the check, and it's honored in glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. But how many things are ahead of us? Well, when you think of the epistle to the Romans and chapter 8 and verses 21 to 25. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. We are still looking for that. When we die, our disembodied spirit will go to glory, absent from the body, present with the Lord. But to come in the second coming of Jesus Christ, we shall have our new bodies. And we looked at that last week, if you remember. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. For we know that if our earthly house, or this tabernacle, that's my body, were dissolved, we have a building of God, that's my new body, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, we're looking for this, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so, being clothed, we shall not be found naked, we shall be disembodied spirits then. For we that are in this tabernacle, this body, do groan, being burdened, not for that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. And then there's 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the body. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. We look to the fulfillment or the consummation of those things. So we too, in our way, live by faith. Now look at the difference. They in the Old Testament had faith in God that there would be a check of faith that would be honored and realized. Then when Christ came, the check is theirs too. And we receive the check in Jesus Christ, that faith in Christ will be honored, sins forgiven, and life everlasting. But in glory, we have the consummation of it. So whilst we are on this earth, there is still room for us to exercise our faith on this earthly pilgrimage. How shall we live? Now, borrowing a little from the next week, but not wanting to take next week's message either, how shall we live? How did they live? Looking unto their God. How shall we live? Looking unto Jesus. Look at the verses, chapter 12. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We've already seen. We are now living in the time of the fulfillment of what he has done. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And so now we look unto him, and that we are able to run the race that is set before us. Ours is a greater privilege. John Calvin, on commenting on this chapter, wrote this sentence. A tiny spark of light led these men of the Old Testament to heaven. But now that the Sun of Righteousness shines on us, what excuse shall we offer if we still cling to the things of earth? It's quite a point, isn't it? They with a tiny spark, believing in God and staggering not at the promises of God, believing in God with us to receive the promise, but not without us. They had to wait, you might say. But if they were able to live a life of faith, overcoming and triumphing in every difficulty, what excuse can you and I offer if we stagger sometimes and if we tremble and fall and fail? What excuse can we offer when we have known the Son of Righteousness? When we have known of the coming of the Son of God? When we have known the forgiveness of sins and life everlasting? Wherefore, seeing we also, now look at this verse now in that context. Think of the crowds in chapter 11. Named and unnamed, and multitudes beyond. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, and they are worthy, so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside, indeed, with all the advantage we have, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which has so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. How shall we run it? We are told by John, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And sometimes if your heart is low, think of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Think of the saints of the Old Testament. Think of the dark times that they lived in. And think on how they had to live, seeing beyond the shadows of the high priest and seeing the reality by the penetrating eye of faith. And yet they are one now in Jesus Christ, that is true. And yet they lived in that time. Think of us who live in this time. Yes, I know the consummation is to come, but with these better promises that are ours. Are we exercising our faith? So if you say when you get up in the morning, oh, I've got one of those days, I know I have. Yes, maybe you have. But are you forgetting who you are? Are you forgetting that you are a son and a daughter of God? Are you forgetting that implanted deep in your being is a gift from God that can never be taken away from you? And the only thing that can ever happen to it is when you go into glory, it changes into sight. It takes you safely home. And if it takes you safely there, can you not trust this God-given faith and exercise it in every situation, great and small, in our lives, that we become more than conquerors in every avenue of life? They that wait upon the Lord. This is an Old Testament verse. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Oh, for a faith that will not shrink, though pressed by many a foe, that will not tremble on the brink of poverty or woe, that will not murmur or complain beneath the chastening rod, but in the hour of grief or pain can lean upon its God. A faith that shines more bright and clear when tempests rage without, that when in darkness knows no fear, that when in danger knows no fear, in darkness feels no doubt. A faith that keeps the narrow way till life's lost spark is fled, and with a pure and heavenly ray lights up the dying bed. Lord, give us such a faith as this, and then whate'er may come, I taste e'en now the hallowed bliss of an eternal home. We live and die by faith in Christ. Let us pray. Gracious and our Heavenly Father, we ask thy blessing upon us now. And pray, O Lord, that in this troubled world, that our hearts might not be troubled, for thou hast said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, there ye may be also. Grant us, O Lord, the peace that must be ours when our faith is in thee. For thy name's sake, amen.